Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to everybody that is with us. Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne on your blessed Shabbat, and we thank you, Father, for another wonderful week of life. We thank you for calling us out of a world of darkness and calling us to your truth, and we thank you for all the wonderful things you share with us every single day as we commune with you and we study your word. We pray, Father, for your spirit to guide and lead us as we go through this study tonight, to convict our hearts where we might need to change. And Father, we just pray for the great end time harvest that you're doing. And we pray for your elders and your people around the world to be able to get to all the ones you're calling. We thank you, Father, for all you do. We give you all glory and honor and praise. And we thank you for the great sacrifice of sending your son to pay the penalty of our sins. And in the name of Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty, welcome again to our living room. Adrian, can you just close that window, please? So, praise Yahweh, I've been getting a lot. I can't believe how many people have been writing me and contacting me and saying how much they're enjoying the studies. And it is different, even from, you know, when we do our Sabbath services and we put them online. You know, I say, like, the study, doing it like this, it really is like having everybody with us in our living room, just not having to do all the cleaning afterward. So it is really great to have everybody here with us. And I was thinking about it, you know, we're going to be taking a few weeks off because I will be on the mission trip to Thailand, leaving tomorrow evening. And I was thinking when I come back, I'll probably change up the Bible study a little bit. We'll start going into back into Ezekiel, but I think what I'm going to do is maybe take like 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning of each Bible study and just each week go over some world news. If there's important world news that's happening, I mean, we have so many things going on in the world today that I can share. If there's any news articles, you know, that I'll copy and just go over, maybe just like I said at the beginning of the study, and then we'll each week we'll go into whatever we're studying at that point. And then sometimes maybe even I'm not going to put a schedule on it, but I know there's a lot of times Bible questions that come in. Sometimes we might even just do some questions at the end of the study, or maybe do a whole study on just Bible questions that come up. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy that people are enjoying it, and it's a great way to start Shabbat with you each and every week. And like I said, be able to study the word of Yahweh. So tonight, another question that's come up over the last couple of years by different people, and since we have many new believers that have joined us, and believe it or not, you know, with COVID starting and the restrictions and travel restrictions and all these things, from the time of COVID starting, I think we've had more growth in the last 3 years than I can ever remember in all the 25 years that we've been doing this ministry. So praise Yahweh for that, and there's a lot of new people. So I thought I would do a study tonight on, should believers celebrate birthdays? Should believers celebrate birthdays? Because it comes up all the time. And again, when we're coming from the world, there's things that go on in the world, so many things that go on in the world that are just normal to most people because they don't know any other way. They've never seen, even when you think of Christmas, I mean, I would have never in a million years ever thought growing up as a Catholic, you know, and I looked forward to Christmas and doing good and helping people and trying to give special gifts to people that had no money. And I mean, it was the best time of the year for me. And then I found out that it's totally pagan, that it's not Yeshua's day of his birth. It's not worshiping Yahweh, but it's worshiping in vain. And wow, it was a big shock. So the same thing as we get in here and we get into birthdays and birthday celebrations, you know, face it, everybody is born and everybody dies. So, you know, I'll talk about that a little more at the end. But as believers, you know, for ourselves and our families and our children, how should we really be? Should we just be going along with the world, or what is really the story? What does the Bible say about this? So to begin with, I'm going to start in Ecclesiastes 7 in verse 1. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1 says, a good name is better than good oil, and the day of death than the day of one's birth, right? So, again, the world today is introverted. Everything is opposite. They call good for evil and evil for good. They call light for darkness and darkness for light. I mean, it's crazy what's going on in the world today with pedophiles and all the evil things and things they're trying to teach children in schools. So we know it. We know how evil the world is. And yet here, the Bible says the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. So right off the bat, we can see that celebration of birthdays is not something that we're going to find commanded in Scripture. The only time we're going to see this, and I'll go to Genesis 40 right now, the only time we will see any birthday celebrations in the Bible is in a negative light. There's only a couple of them, but they're negative. But then I'm going to get into more things that are really going to, if you've never heard this before, probably shock you. But that's a good thing. Genesis 40 and verse 20 says, and this is talking about with Pharaoh, and it says, and it happened on the third day, the day of Pharaoh's birth, right, Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief of the cupbearers and the head of the chief of the bakers in the midst of his servants. And he restored the chief of the cupbearers to his cupbearer office, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And he hanged the chief of the bakers as Joseph interpreted to them. So here again, we see Pharaoh having a big celebration on his birth. And in memory of that, what is he doing? He's killing somebody. He's hanging somebody. In Matthew, in the New Testament, there's only one birth that's talked about there. And that's in Matthew 14. Of course, beside the birth of Yeshua. But even there, we'll talk about it a little later. It never gives us a date for it, which is interesting. Matthew 14 and verse 6, and who is his birthday? This is Herod's birthday. Matthew 14 and verse 6, but a birthday feast for Herod being held, the daughter of Herodias danced before the guests and pleased Herod. So then he promised with an oath to give her whatever she should ask. But she being urged on by her mother, she said, give me here a platter, the head of John the Baptist. And the king was grieved, but because of the oaths and those who reclined with him, he ordered it to be given. And sending, he beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought on a platter and was given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. So here, wow, even worse than what we saw in the book of Genesis, we see here that actually Herod is giving as a birthday present, killing John the Baptist and giving his, cutting his head and giving it on a platter. And for that matter, you know, a lot of times in Scripture, one thing I said this many times before, but I'll mention it again. When I came to the truth, one thing that I loved was I was always a logical person. From the time I was a little boy, I was 7, 8, 9 years old, I always thought logical, you know. Even when I was told the big lie in that day was, you know, Santa Claus, that there's this fat, you know, 250-pound guy that's coming down our chimney. And I thought it was kind of strange because we lived in a house where the chimney was closed off. You know, we didn't have, there was like a fireplace that must have been from 50 years before that or whatever, and it was closed off. And I always wondered, number one, how can that big guy get into the chimney? And then it's blocked off. How could he get out of there, you know, from that? So I never really liked to be lied to. But when I read Scripture, everything made sense. Everything was so perfect and so logical. So just think about this, right? In the Bible, they do list a lot of people's births. You know, I shouldn't say that there's no births that are listed. Moses is born, and Cain and Abel are born, right? And Isaac. And I mean, we could probably name 50 to 100 people that are born in Scripture. But do you ever realize there's never one date given for the person's birth? Even Yeshua. There's never one date given. And there's dates all over the Bible. Remember we were just talking about that in Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel, who's the watchman. You go through the book of Ezekiel, and you have every other chapter, you have them giving dates. And throughout the whole Bible, there's dates everywhere. Dates when a king took office. Dates when he left. Dates when this happened. Dates when that happened. And yet, in the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, including our Savior Yeshua, whose his birth is really publicized because you know, it was prophecy of him being born, but never even one time is the date of the person's birthday listed. So that's got to tell us something right there, that it's not something that is pleasing to Yahweh. And I'll say it right off the bat, and I would think everyone would agree with me, you know, that the only one that has a day is Yahweh. You know, his day is Sabbath. That's what we're doing now. We're worshiping him and we're honoring him. But we don't have a day. As human beings, that from the day you're born to the day you die, your life is timed. You know, every day of our life, we're dying. We're shedding, you know, our flesh and our bodies are aging. And, you know, you only have so many days from the day you're born to the day you die, whatever it is, 36,473, whatever it might be. So we don't have a day. It's not for us. That's, and we're going to see the only people in ancient times that ever did celebrate birthdays were kings and leaders in pagan people. So it's not something that even a believer would even think about. Let's go to the book of Job. Job 1, 1 through 5. Job 1, 1 through 5. It says, "And there was a man in the land of Oz," you know, not the Wizard of Oz, but Job was the king of Oz, "and his name was Job. And this man was perfect and upright and fearing Elohim and turning away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was greater than all the sons of the east. And his sons feasted in the house of each one on his day." Right? They feasted. What does that mean? On his day? On their birthday. They're feasting. "And they sent and called their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it happened when the day of feasting had gone around, Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to all their number. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed Elohim in their hearts.' This Job always did." So here it is. They're having these big celebrations. It sounds like it's pretty wild. They're feasting and who knows what else they're doing there. But what is Job's reaction? Number one, he's not there with them, but he's actually doing a sacrifice because he's saying they may have sinned in doing this. And did Job celebrate birthdays? Did he look and you know, look up to the day he was born? No, go to Job 3. And look what it says starting in verse 1. "And this Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job answered and said, 'Let the day perish in which I was born, and the night which said a man-child has been conceived. Let not day be darkness. Let not Elohim look on it from above, nor let the light shine on it. Let darkness and the shadow of death seize upon it. Let a cloud dwell on it. Let all that blackens the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize it. Let it not be joined to the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful voice come from it." So certainly Job was not one who was celebrating birthdays. So before going on here, I just want to read you now some historical reference, because just like Christmas and Ishtar Sunday, a lot of people may not know, when did this custom start? You know, I would think, like, as just a human being growing up, take religion and everything aside, you know, I would have just thought, well, everybody's born, right? And you know the day you're born, so people just celebrate it, I guess, as they get older. But that's really not the way it was. And most of the time, until the Roman Empire, birthdays were never celebrated, except, like I said, kings and pagans and whatever. So what's interesting is, if you go to the Satanic Bible, written by Anton LaVey, it's called The Book of Lucifer, The Enlightenment, from Avon Books. And page 96, it says regarding birthdays. Now, this has come from the Satanic Bible. We were just going in our Bible now. You can't find any command to celebrate a birthday. You can't find anybody doing a birthday that's righteous. You only see it a couple times in a bad light. But look at what it says in the Satanic Bible. It says, "The highest of all holy days in the Satanic religion is the date of one's own birthday." Wow. That is the highest satanic day of the year for a Satanist, is the day of your birthday. The Satanist feels, why not really be honest? And if you're going to create a God in your image, why not create that God as yourself? Every man is a god if he chooses to recognize him as one. Wow, this almost sounds like something that Klaus Schwab would say, or you know, Yuval Harari, his henchman there. But this is satanic, right? He says, so the Satanist celebrates his own birthday as the most important holy day of the year. Wow. After all, aren't you happier about the fact that you were born than about the birth of somebody else that you've never met? So that's the point. They're not celebrating Washington's birthday or Lincoln's birthday. They're celebrating their own birthday. So that alone, you know, for me as a believer, just hearing that, I'd be like, okay, I get the point. It's vanity. It's vanity for me to give myself a day, for me to lift myself up, for me to expect everybody to bow to me that day and give me all kinds of presents and parties and cakes and candles, which is all pagan again. All of the candles on the cake and all the birthday cakes, all of that is coming from paganism. And I'm going to go on here. This is now not from the Book of Lucifer. This is just, I'm going to read from different encyclopedias and different other sources here. It says, early Christians did not celebrate birthdays, nor did the early Jews, nor have real Christians ever celebrated Halloween. That's not, I mean, that one you would think, right? You know, dressing up like a skeleton or a ghost and going to the neighbors begging for candy. You would think anybody that reads the Bible that they wouldn't do it. But Christians, you know, Christians still do it. They even do Halloween, which is Hallows Eve, which actually comes from the day all these dead spirits were supposed to come back to life. So Origen of Alexandria, who was one of the famous historians, Christian historians, writing over two centuries after the death of the Messiah, follows the same line when he recorded against the memories of birthdays, including that at the time of his writing, a day to remember the birth of the Messiah was not part of the church calendar. So he's writing here at the end of the second, beginning of the third century, right? 200 years, you know, in the second century, let's say, after Yeshua, and he's saying they weren't even celebrating the birth of Yeshua at that point. And then he states, this is verbatim, not one from all the saints is found to have celebrated a festive day or a great day on the day of his birth. No one is found to have joy on the day of the birth of his son or daughter. Only sinners rejoice over this kind of birthday. For indeed, we find in the Old Testament Pharaoh, king of Egypt, celebrating the day of his birth with a festival, and then the New Testament, Herod. However, both of them stained the festival of his birth by shedding human life. But the saints not only do not celebrate a festival on their birthdays, but filled with the Holy Spirit, they curse that day, as we see with Job, right? So what is the origin then of why most people in the world today just harmlessly celebrate birthdays? The Encyclopedia Americana, 1991 edition, says the ancient world of Egypt, Greece, Rome, and Persia celebrated the birthdays of gods, kings, and nobles. Authors Ralph and Adeline Linton reveal the underlying reason in their book called The Lore of Birthdays. They say Mesopotamia and Egypt, the cradles of civilization, were also the first lands in which men remembered and honored their birthdays. The keeping of birthday records was important in ancient times, principally because a birthday was essential for the casting of a horoscope, right? And what do they do today? That's what people do. They go and they do all this mysticism and this witchcraft with horoscopes. And what is the horoscope based on? Your birth. What is your sign, right? From your birth. So again, it's just all pagan. The World Book Encyclopedia, Volume 3, page 416, says the early Christians did not celebrate the Messiah's birth because they considered the celebration of anyone's birth to be a pagan custom. Down to the 4th century, believers rejected the birthday celebration as a pagan custom. And also Josephus, the famous Jewish historian, look what he writes in Against Appian, Book 2, Section 26. It says, the Jews and the Messiahs, they knew that Elohim's attitude towards birthday celebration, nay, this is verbatim what he's saying, nay, indeed, the Torah does not permit us to make festivals at the births of our children. So clearly, Jewish and believers did not celebrate. So this does become relevant with Christmas, because that's really when birthdays started to be celebrated. Because what happened, we know that first Constantine, and then after it was the Bishop of Liberius of Rome, ordered the celebrating of Christmas as the day of Yeshua's birth on December 25th. Why was that? We know it. Because that's supposedly the celebration of the birthday of the sun god Mithra. And that was the Saturnalia, when they did all this evil, debauchery and drunkenness and bad things that are going on there. So we clearly see here that even the early Christians that were not like us, that kind of were, you know, went on the other road, even they didn't celebrate birthdays for these things. That it was considered pagan, it was considered, you know, not good, and as we see, they didn't do it. Even the Catholic Encyclopedia, I'll quote here, it says, "The Messiah told his disciples to remember him in his death, but there is not a word in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation which tells us to celebrate his birth. Moreover, who knows exactly when and in what month he was born?" The Bible is silent thereon. Not surprisingly, then, the ancient Jews did not celebrate birthdays, but regarded them as pagan. So, that's pretty much the history of it. I mean, there's a lot more you can get into. Like I said, all the paganism of candle lighting and blowing out candles and making wishes and all of this other stuff that came along with it, that again was not from Yahweh but comes from paganism. And it really, when you think about it, it really is it's just another point of vanity to try to get man to elevate himself. And I think, you know, when you look at human nature, we have enough vanity on our own that we don't need to elevate ourselves with that. If we go to Daniel 7, verse 25. Daniel 7, verse 25. It says, "And he shall speak commands against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And he intends to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until time and half a time." So this is an end time scripture, but I believe, at least in type, a lot of things in the book of Daniel did happen in type. With the Maccabees, you know, with the 1150 days until Hanukkah, with the rededication of the temple, and things happen in type that will happen again in the end time. But Constantine, when Constantine the Great, the emperor who wasn't so great, when he really, to at least to some degree, fulfilled this scripture by changing the calendar. So he's the one who brought in, even up till today, you know, that started in 325 AD. And here we are, 1,700 years after that. And that calendar that he started is still here today. He changed Sabbath to Sunday. You know, that's when Sabbath keeping was outlawed, and the Catholic Church changed it to Sunday, even though they admit in the Catholic Encyclopedia that Saturday is the Sabbath. And when you look at the Roman calendar, all of the months and the days of the week, they all come from paganism, right? This was adopted in 45 BC, you know, originally. First they had the Julian calendar, and then it was changed to the modern calendar that we have today. So when we look at the names of the months, January, Janus, the false deity Janus, Maya for May, Juno for June, you know that many of the months come after pagan deities. And then if you look at the days of the week, right? Sunday, Moonday, Twisday, Wooden's Day, Thor's Day, Frigga's Day, and Saturn's Day. Each of the 7 days of the week are all pagan names. And that's why it's interesting in Scripture, when you look at the days of the week, you just have day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and Shabbat. Shabbat is the only day that's named, because that's the day that's set apart to Yahweh. So, wow, just another way that Satan has deceived the whole world, and we see it. And boy, you know, these are the things years ago. I know I'm 38 years or so in the faith, and when I first came into the faith, it was things like this, learning about the pagan celebration of Christmas and Easter and birthdays, and learning about Yahweh's holy days, which all this stuff is amazing and fantastic. But wow, at that point I was thinking, man, Satan really has deceived the whole world. But here it is, close to 40 years later. And back then, it was nothing like it is today when you're looking at all these things now with COVID and all the other stuff that's going on. I mean, it's just absolutely shocking. By the way, somebody just a day or two ago sent me a new documentary that they made. It's really good. It puts everything together really good. That Yahweh willing, before I leave tomorrow night, I'm going to see if I could send that out, the link to that, so that people can watch it. Because, boy, it really shows the truth and has all the evidence of what has been going on with COVID. But that's what it is. Satan has deceived the whole world. So if we go to John 3 in verse 3. John 3 in verse 3. And this is when Yeshua is with Nicodemus, right? And what does he say? He says, Yeshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you that if a man is not born again, he is not able to see the kingdom of Yahweh. Nicodemus said to him, how is it possible to enter the womb of his mother the second time and be born? Yeshua answered, truly, I say to you that if a man is not born from water and spirit, he is not able to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. So that's why we believe life starts at conception. And our baptism, you know, when we come to faith and we're baptized and we have hands laid on us by a true elder of Yahweh, that's our new conception. We're not born yet, because with the Bible, when they say being born again, they're talking about being born again from the dead. Dead people being born again at the resurrection. That's what it's talking about. It's one of the studies I want to do in Thailand when I get there. But we do know, like I said, life does not start at birth. It starts at conception. And we have been conceived. We were conceived with the Holy Spirit when we were baptized. And now we're like a fetus. We're like a fetus in the womb. And we're growing and we're maturing until the time that Yeshua will return. And whether we're sleeping in the grave or we're alive at that time, we will be born again. So the key is, why be so fixated on the physical day of one's birth according to a pagan calendar? You know, if you're going to look at the day of your birth anyway, you should look at it from the Hebrew calendar. Why? If we do the holy days and we do everything from the biblical calendar, then why would you care about the day of your birth from a Roman calendar that's pagan? That makes no sense whatsoever. But if we do also believe that life begins at conception, then really, if there's any day that we would celebrate or mark, you know, like an anniversary, because nothing wrong with if you're married and you have an anniversary, right? Because you're commemorating another year of marriage, another year of commitment to your spouse and to Yahweh in the marriage covenant. So there's nothing wrong with commemorating things like that and having anniversaries. But if you're going to have one, actually, the anniversary should be from when you're born, you know, conceived again from your baptism. And actually, to be honest, we do this. We do it every year at Passover, right? That's what it is. Passover is a memorial. And that is, we are commanded, right? What do we say in Ecclesiastes 7:1 when we started? That the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. So, like I said, in the Bible, it never tells us the day Yeshua was born. And never tells us to celebrate that day, you know. And, you know, commemorate when baby Yeshua was in the manger. It never tells us that. But it does tell us to commemorate his death. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. It says, for I received from the Master what I also delivered to you, that the Master Yeshua, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. In the night which he was betrayed, what night was that? The 14th day of the first month of Aviv, according to the biblical calendar. It was the night of the Passover, the beginning of the 14th. And that's the night he's saying, the Master delivered to you, which he also gave to Paul, that in the night in which he was betrayed, the beginning of the 14th of Aviv, in giving thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken on behalf of you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, the cup also after supping, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Each time you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For each time you may eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly commemorate the death of our master until his coming. So we are commanded to celebrate an anniversary every year, but not on the day that we were born or the day that Yeshua was born, but on the day that he died. Because Passover is not just the memorial and anniversary of his death, but it's the memorial and anniversary of our rebirth, of our conception as a new child of Yahweh in the beginning of our eternal life. So that's the day that we celebrate, and that's the day the Bible tells us to celebrate. And that's why the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Because we should be not building up our vanity in this life. We should be dying to the flesh every day and living to the Spirit. So we are commanded also in the Bible to flee all forms of idolatry. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 15. To 18. It says, and what agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what harmony has the sanctuary of Elohim with idols? For you are the sanctuary of the living Elohim, as it is said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. Because of this, come out from among them and be separated, says Yahweh, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh Almighty. So we're not to mimic the world. We're not to be part with the world. We're not to do the things the world does. And that's why we don't, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, can I just go to my family's house on Christmas? It's just a dinner. And it's like, no, it's not just a dinner. It is a false worship toward Elohim, a false worship toward Yahweh. Because they're only having that dinner because of that. Now, they don't do this all over the world, but yesterday was the American Thanksgiving. And people have sent me articles and tried to tell me that Thanksgiving was pagan and it was a takeoff from Sukkot. And it's just not true. I've read a lot of stuff. There's nothing I've ever seen that remotely shows it's a takeoff. It's somebody who, I say sometimes people get not paranoid, they become paganoid. Because everything becomes pagan. You know, every single thing is pagan. And if you look at how Thanksgiving started, you know, it's just that the pilgrims and the Indians that had that day that they ate together and they gave thanks to Elohim, and that's it. So, you know, that's not pagan. And if people want to, we should worship Yahweh every day, but there's nothing wrong with having a special day that they do that just to give thanks to him. But when it comes to something like Christmas that comes from paganism, comes from debauchery, comes from idolatry, and is false worship toward Yahweh and Yeshua, as a believer, we should have nothing to do with it. Anything that has false worship toward Yahweh and Yeshua, we should have nothing to do with it. So all I know is, and I say this to believers, that if I were to go to my relative's house for a Christmas celebration, just as if, you know, it was nothing, then what happens 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line, when somebody gets converted, and now they believe, and they see Christmas is pagan, and then they come up to me and say, well, if you know it's pagan, why would you be going there? I mean, it's just hypocrisy. It's not setting a good example. It's the opposite. We're showing people how to compromise when we do that kind of thing, because it's toward false worship toward Yahweh. 1 John 5, and again, this is, remember, John is the last apostle alive. He's writing this right before the turn of the century, right? And a lot of believers are already turning away at that time. They're already starting to go toward Ishtar. They're already starting to keep Sunday. Things are turning. And I've mentioned this in my book. actually, John, to these Christian churches, he was looked at as an apostate. Can you imagine? The last apostle who wrote the book of John was the one who leaned on Yeshua's bosom. And he's looked at as an apostate by some of these apostate believers that went the other way. And look what he says. 1 John 5 and verse 19. We know that we are of Elohim and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of Elohim has come and he has given to us understanding that we may know him who is true and we are in him who is true. In his Son, Yeshua Messiah. This is the true Elohim and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols. Guard yourself from idols. And in the Aramaic, when you look that up, it could actually be idols of religion or idols of fear, which lead to idolatry. But that's the way the Aramaic puts it. So, very clearly, we have to flee idolatry. That's his last message, the last apostle, right near the turn of the century, as things are really starting to change toward these pagan things. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14. In verse 14 again, this is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, on account of this, keep away from idolatry, my beloved. Keep away from idolatry. So, we don't have to fear idolatry. We just have to keep away from it. You know, that we see that the world is filled with idolatry. And, you know, look, the Apostle Paul is writing 2,000 years ago. We see things going all the way back from the time of Abraham before. Going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, there was always idolatry. There was idolatry in everything. You know, I mean, it was idolatry with Adam and Eve did by going the way of Satan and, you know, abdicating his position that Yahweh gave him to Satan. So there is idolatry in absolutely everything, but as believers, all we need to do is, with the Spirit of Yahweh, is we just need to refrain from these things. You know, like I said, as believers, there's no reason why we need to personally make such a big deal about the day of our birth, or, you know, want to get all kinds of presents or all kinds of things, or, hey, this is my day, you should be doing this for me, doing that for me. You know, and because it's just as we see, it's something that comes from paganism. It's the highest satanic holiday in the year for them. And there's just no reason for it in a position where we're trying to get away from vanity and we're trying to build a spirit of humility. There's just no reason for it. But at the same rate, like I said, we don't have to get paganoid. We don't have to get to the point where we're paganoid, where we're afraid of absolutely everything, you know, that we're touching. And, you know, you don't want to wear sneakers, you know, that somebody gave you because they're Nike sneakers or they're this sneaker and they have, you know, this thing on it. So there's a point where you really can get overboard. And the key that I look at is, if something is worship, or if something is false worship toward Yahweh, then that's something as a believer that you just have to totally refrain from and not have anything to do with it. But if it's just, you know, that something came from paganism, or, you know, a word that meant something at this point or something else, the point of it is we want to be balanced. We don't want to be overboard. And I say this because, you know, when you look at the calendar, and I've been studying the calendar for many, many years, and I believe I wrote the calendar book, I believe wholeheartedly that we can prove that the month starts at conjunction, it does not start with the crescent. And does crescent keeping come from paganism? Absolutely. I mean, that's what they did. They did it in ancient times. The Arabs, you know, still have the crescent as their symbol. And it was a form, it was a part of paganism, you know, going all way back for thousands of years. But does that mean that other people in other congregations that don't understand that, that are starting the month by citing a crescent, does that mean that they're pagans? Of course not. They're wrong in their calculation. But, and I could share with them the reasons why they're wrong, and I could share with them the reasons why, you know, the because of the wobble of the earth, and that some months the crescent will come up, you know, 4 or 5 hours after conjunction, and in other months it can be up to, you know, 60 hours. So it would never be that way. There's many reasons I can go into this, and it's not a Bible study on the crescent. But the point I'm trying to make is that our brothers and sisters that may be in other congregations that are keeping the crescent, it may be incorrect, but they're not pagans. They're not doing something of idolatry or paganism because they're starting their month at the crescent. They're just incorrect on it. And that's why I say with birthdays, I think pretty clearly from this study, it's evident as believers that we shouldn't be celebrating our birthday, and that we shouldn't be making a big deal of the day of our birth, that if we're celebrating anything or memorializing anything, it should be Passover every year. But at the same rate, all of the people in the world, not every person in the world who has a birthday is doing it out of vanity. You know, it's something that the world does. It's not a good thing. It doesn't go to anything. You know, like I said, but it's not worship toward Yahweh. It's worship toward self. But not every person that gets older is doing that. And the reason why I'm saying this is that it's a matter of conscience, but I don't believe that it's wrong if you have unconverted relatives like parents, older parents or grandparents, and you know, you actually just on the day of their birth, where you're not giving them presents and lighting candles and all that stuff, but to just maybe tell them how much they mean to you on that day, or congratulate them, you know, that they're Yahweh blessed them to live a year older. I don't believe we need to fear birthdays. I think as believers we need to abstain from it, but I don't believe that to the world, especially like I said, for parents, grandparents, that it could be very, very offensive that the whole family is just wishing them well. It has nothing to do with any kind of even celebration, that you can't tell them how much you love them. And what I always say is, you know, I tell my, now I only have a father, but I tell him every day how much I love him. But, you know, for them that don't understand, and, you know, and they're not looking toward getting something from you, and they're not looking for a present, but to just tell somebody on that day that could be close to you, wish him well, or say, well, thank that Yahweh is giving you another year to live. I don't see that as anything wrong, but again, it's a matter of conscience. If somebody does think that that's wrong, whatever is not of faith is sin. So I wanted to add that in, because like I said, there is a difference between a birthday that may be pagan, but it's inward towards self, compared to Christmas and Easter that are outward worship toward Elohim incorrectly. And there is a difference there. So, again, only Yahweh has a day, the Sabbath day. Human beings don't have a day. There's nothing special that people should praise us on the day of our birth, as Job even cursed his day. Human beings are filled with vanity and pride and wickedness, and we don't need anything to try to add to that. Birthdays are pagan. I think we proved that. The fact that somebody's birthday is the highest holy day in Satanism, I think, says it all. And I think the worst thing is, I think that parents are not doing justice to their children if they're bringing them up thinking, you know, having them. I mean, I don't know in everywhere in the world. I do know in the United States of Babylon that, wow, there's people that will spend $20,000 on a three-year-old's birthday. They have all these theme parties, you know, that everybody dresses up like Spider-Man and all this crazy stuff that, you know, you hear sometimes through the grapevine and you're shocked. But that's the kind of thing that I really think that parents are not, they're not helping their children by bringing them up that way. And actually, you know, like when you have children that grow up in the faith that, you know, never had birthday parties with all that stuff, and they never celebrated Christmas with all that stuff, boy, you're doing them a big favor, because they, you know, they don't have to go through all the things that the world goes through. And we need to come out of the world and separate, like the scripture said, and not mix with the culture of Satan. So we don't want to instill in our families and in our children the ways of the world, especially now. I mean, it's always bad, but I think that everybody could see, when you look at the end times, and like I said, I believe the end times started in 1945, the beginning of the United Nations, the beginning of the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, all of these institutions that started at that time, and many more from there, that started the end time. But if you look at every decade from there, the 50s was worse than the 40s. That's where you started with rock and roll and all these things that came out of there, you know. And the 60s, wow, where the hippie age and the rebellion and all the things that came out of the 60s. And the 70s, even worse than that, with the drugs and Vietnam and whatnot, you know, to the 80s and the women's lib movement and all the things that came to the 90s. And now look where we are. Look where we are here. We're at the end of 2022. After 3 years of horrendous things that went on during COVID. And like I said, if you can't see as a believer that we need to separate from the world, then to be honest, I can't see that you're a believer. I mean, the world, we're reading things that are 2,000 years old that says we need to stay separate. And yet, if you went in the 1800s and the 1700s, staying separate meant that they're going to church on Sunday and you're going to church on Saturday. Or they might be celebrating Christmas, although Christmas was outlawed in America in the early part that they were a nation. But, you know, you're keeping Feast of Sukkot. But today, it's the world is so evil that these things that the people are doing, if we're going to be an example to them, and if we're going to try to be different, and we're going to try to call these people out of the world, then we have to be convicted and we have to live it. We can't compromise. And when we're compromising, you know, like I said, we're hurting our children, we're hurting ourselves, and all it's doing is taking away from our witness if somebody does come to faith later. So I am going to stop there. I think that enough said. I mean, I can go on more. I had more things from encyclopedias and this and that. But I think I went through pretty much all the heavy bullet points. You can check this on your own. I encourage you, you know, to go to the encyclopedias and look some of these things up that you could see for yourself. Because everything that I said in this Bible study tonight is absolutely provable by history and by scripture. But again, I think the most important thing is that we need to be looking at what are the important things that in Yahweh's congregation and in the Bible, the things that are, you know, important to Yahweh are worthless to man, and the things that are important to man are worthless to Yahweh. So that's why we really see that there's such a dichotomy when you're looking at the way of the world and the things they're doing and the things that Yahweh does. So may we all be blessed and we all be able to be separate and be sanctified and live every day to Yahweh, especially during the Shemitah. I pray everyone's having a great Shemitah. I know we are having a lot of blessings every week that's going by, more things. We just yesterday had gleaned some tangerines that were really good, that somebody that had a tree there allowed us to take some. And praise Yahweh, we are only a couple months into this thing, but we have been getting a lot of blessings and finding different things. So I pray that everybody has a blessed Sabbath. We'll be putting a new message online by the morning. And have a blessed couple of weeks away, as I will be on the mission trip. And then we will pick up the study either 2 or 3 weeks, I'm not sure. We'll see what happens once I get back. So Yahweh bless and Shabbat Shalom.